This is Ashley Bond, Miss Illinois USA 2009 and a member of the Chicago Lovables. And you're listening to Fred and Mark on the Chicago Bullseye.
What's going on? This is Joakim Noah on the Chicago Bulls, and you're listening to Chicago Bullseye.
I'm not here around this week. Now, you may be, but I'm not.
You hungry?
Hey, Ma! We get some meatloaf!
You're insane. You're insane.
Absolutely insane.
My house
isn't even a stained spread. It's for shit. Are you telling me?
For shit.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
Now, if you don't think this is the greatest, I will fight you. That's no lie.
Can you clap for the killers?
All right, let's rock.
Give it up for them gangsters.
Throw them off that.
One time for the killers.
Whoa.
Double up for them gangsters.
Just living the dream.
Hi, I'm Bill White, and welcome to Chicago Bulldog.
I gotta be honest, I come in, it's like a little, like, I'm trying to get my bearings,
there's
cartoons, your mom, and it's like, you still got it.
Hello, this is Fred Pfeiffer with another exciting episode of the Chicago Bullseye. On today's episode, we're going to have Brandon Pence. I had a quick interview with Brandon. We recorded it actually during the first half of the New Jersey loss this week, a few days ago. But it's a lot of timeless topics. I hope you enjoy the interview. I'm a big fan of Brandon's. You can find him on Chi Bull Zone. He writes occasionally there. And you can follow him on Twitter, at the Bulls Charge, at the Bulls Charge. A lot of good information from Brandon, and I hope you enjoy it. Follow me at CBE Fred or email me at ChicagoBullseye@gmail.com. Hope you enjoy it. Happy New Year, and we'll talk to you soon.
I wanted to get your opinion on, you know, give me the top three reasons on why you feel this team is so much better than the team last year.
Well, the first thing has to be Jimmy Butler. I mean, he is... He's unreal right now. I mean, there's just no comparison to him this year compared to last year. He's shooting the ball well. He's not taking as many three-pointers, as it doesn't seem like. He is making his shots inside the three-point line. And he's taking over games at points. I mean, he looks like the star of this team as the best player. Other than that, Pau Gasol has been light years ahead of what Carlos Boozer was last year. I felt like Boozer checked out last season. Defensively, it's not even close. The rim protection's just been enormous with Gasol and his length. So I think you have to give a lot of credit to Powell. And then the bench. The bench has been fairly good this year. As soon as they've got their groove, Mirotić has been nice. Aaron Brooks has been nice. Taj has been, you know, Taj. I mean, he's missed a few games, but he's been Taj still. I think it's the biggest thing. You know, Butler, Gasol on the bench. I think those are the three biggest things that have really taken the Bulls to a different level right now.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more on all those, especially Gasol. You know, Gasol, as far as rim protection goes, I looked it up. He has, I think, something 54, 55 blocks off the top of my head. He's somewhere around there after, 27 games.
Wow.
Last year, Boozer, in 70-plus games, had a total of 22. So he's already doubled his block total in a short season so far. So rim protection is greatly improved.
I'd like to see the chemistry too on the offensive end with Rose. I don't think it always seemed like a perfect match with Boozer and Rose, but for some reason they never clicked. But he and Gasol look like they have a good connection, and they just look like they know how to play with each other. And I think that's been big too.
Absolutely. Where would you rank the Bulls in the Eastern Conference and overall in the NBA?
I think they're the best team in the East. I think their record hasn't caught up because of injuries. But they've beaten Toronto twice, at home and on the road. They beat Washington on the road, on the second end of a back-to-back. Atlanta still has it. Atlanta has been playing well. I'm big on Atlanta, but I still think they're better than that team. I think the Bulls are the best team in the East. As far as the NBA, they still have to take a backseat to Golden State. Golden State's been fantastic. They already handled Memphis. I don't know if they're going to be better than the Spurs long run. You can never tell with the Spurs when they have, you know, guys in and out of the lineup pretty much on a daily basis, sitting guys, resting guys, injuries, et cetera. They haven't had their full team yet, if I can remember right. So I would put them behind Golden State and the Spurs. I think they're top three or four team in the league right now.
I'd like your opinion on Tom Thibodeau. What do you think about his performance so far this year, as far as managing minutes and overall, And also, if, you know, this year, if we have another disappointing first or second round out, are you going to start to question whether or not maybe this is the guy that can take us to the promised land?
I've already asked those questions, actually, on I wrote it for shybullzone.com. Our friends Will and Jason over there at the Bullzone, on their site, I've been contributing there. And I actually wrote this before the season. I asked the question, is he the guy that can take us from contender to champion? And a lot of those concerns that you said, you know, the minutes, disappointing playoff outs. He got out-coached by Randy Whitman last year in the playoffs. Randy Whitman, his overall winning percentage is something like 0.448. You know, I mean, he's not an elite coach by any stretch of the imagination, but he was just out-coaching. He had a game plan that just basically thwarted anything the Bulls were going to do, and the Bulls were just stubborn and didn't change. I think he's done a pretty good job this year as far as managing minutes, with the exception of Jimmy Butler. And probably Kyle Gasol. Kyle Gasol shouldn't be playing 35, 36 minutes a game. And
absolutely.
And I don't know if that's like a short-term thing as Joakim Noah gets healthy, and maybe Joakim's going to take a few more of those minutes back. When he gets 100%, I don't know. But I'm hoping that goes down as the season progresses. As far as...
Go ahead. No, I couldn't agree with you more on that point, especially with the emergence of Mirotić. There's no excuse anymore.
No.
You have to get his minutes down. And he's not going to last the season if you're, you know, playing Paul Gasol at, you know, almost a career high.
Absolutely. I think Mirotić only played like 10 minutes last night in Indiana. I mean, that's inexcusable. It wasn't a close game until the Pacers made a huge run in the fourth. It wasn't like, you know, like there was a reason for Powell to be in there all those minutes until the end, but I don't like that. I think he's not going to be able to make it through the season. He's had injury issues the past several years. I think that's a concern. I'm not worried as much about Jimmy Butler. He's kind of showed this in the past that he's kind of a freak and can play like 40 something minutes a game and keep being himself. But overall, I'm pleased with Tibbs this year. He has shown a willingness to do some things outside of his norm. We've seen some Derrick Rose and Aaron Brooks side by side, which I didn't think we would see. He went with Mirotić at the small forward for like a 2-minute stretch the other day, which he said before the season he wouldn't. So I don't know. Maybe he's getting a little bit more flexible. We've seen Mirotić get some minutes over Taj, a time or two, change up that rotation a little bit. Overall, he's done a good job. You can't really complain about the job he's doing right now, I don't think. But you know, at the end of the season, this team's built to win. They're built to win now. And if they come up short in the playoffs, especially in this conference, with Cleveland faltering and the East pretty much open for the taking, I think you have to ask the question if he's the guy that's going to be the championship coach that you want, if he's the guy going forward that can take this team to that level.
Amen. I couldn't agree with you more. I especially liked your point. I almost had a heart attack when I saw him have Mirotić at the three against New Orleans in the, you know, last few minutes of that first quarter. Mirotić can play the three. I understand, you know, he's not going to be able to play the three if LeBron James is the opposition, but he sure as heck can play the three against some of the weaker threes in the Eastern Conference and Western Conference.
Absolutely.
So, agree with
him. He can't be slower than McDermott or Dunleavy on the defensive end. I mean, you would have to, compared to what the Bulls have there already, he's a pretty solid option, small forward, I would think, and gives you some distinct advantages, too, rebounding and size and just being able to be versatile on the court. So I think it's worth a try. I don't know if Tibbs is going to ever go to it again, but it was nice to see him actually try it.
Even if he is a second less quick than Dunleavy, what he lacks in, you know, maybe a little bit of speed, he has in length. And I don't see any lack of speed personally, but you know, what do I know? So what I wanted to get your opinion on Doug McDermott. You know, obviously he hasn't had a great start to the year. What are your feelings on him overall?
He's young, and I think I even wrote about this again on Shy Bulls on that same I wrote about it I don't know where I wrote about it. I wrote about it somewhere. It may have been on my website, bullscharge.weebly.com, when I talked about Dunleavy and Kirk Heinrich in the comparison of who should be playing in the fourth quarter, but these guys they bring in as the shooters, like the Dunleavy's, the Kyle Korvers, the Marco Bellinelli's, for whatever reason, they struggle a lot of times the first year under Tibbs, especially defensively. And I think we're seeing that from McDermott. He's also a rookie, and rookies just don't fare well under Tibbs. I think that's going to be a lot of it. And he's a slow white guy. Let's just be honest. I'm a slow white guy. I understand what it's like. just being able to get your shot off in the NBA, that can be difficult. I just think adjusting to the speed of the game has been a challenge for him. It's a lot different than Mirotić, who was playing in the second best league in the world against professionals coming over to the NBA. He'd already played against NBA competition as well as some preseason games, too, in the Olympics. I think there was a couple, not this past Olympics, but I think some under-18 tournaments recently. But McDermott, he was playing against college players, and he wasn't at a huge school. You know, he was kind of the guy, he was used to having the ball in his hands the whole time. It's different for him now, and I just don't know if, and the way they're using him up in that Kyle Korver quote spot, I just don't know if that's his game. He reminds me a lot more of like a poor man's Paul Pierce, with that versatility to post up and take guys off the dribble and uses his body to create space. I don't know if he's a guy that can just fight through, you know, 10 screens and hit an open jumper like that. I think it's one aspect of his game, but I don't think it's the main thing for him.
Hey, man, I think you had a home run with that analysis. First of all, he's played a little bit less than 200 minutes. You got to judge somebody on 200 minutes. How did Jimmy Butler look after 200 minutes in the NBA? His stats weren't all that
good. Did Jimmy even play 200 minutes in his rookie year? I don't even know. I mean, it's that he didn't play at all.
He's playing 200 minutes in about a week now, every week. So you can't make any judgment, especially
not at all
when those 200 minutes were doled out in about, you know, 7 to 10 minute increments, you know, every other game. One frustration I have with Tibbs, I don't know, like, your take on this or you agree, just on the offensive end, sometimes I have major questions. I was really frustrated with when they almost gave away the Indiana game. Gasol, he finally sends him in, and he has him standing out at the three-point line. And finally going to post to him, what do you know, something good happens. They score, and then he passes out of a double team to Jimmy for a three to, you know, basically win the game. What is going on? You know, on the offensive end, and I totally agree with your analysis about, you know, how he was utilizing McDermott. McDermott's job was basically to run to the opposite side of where Brooks was and stand there. You know, I don't know.
It didn't do McDermott any favors that he was playing with Taj Gibson either. And not all people that call on Twitter and read me, they know I harp on Taj, but he doesn't pass out of the post at all. And
right.
If that's going to be his role, he needs, I think he'd play better with the starting group, not because he's a starting level player, but because I think he would have more opportunity and be playing with guys with a little bit higher IQs that can find him around the perimeter. We're not going to see him start, obviously. His defense is just terrible. But
right.
And his jump shot isn't far behind right now. But I just think that's part of it. He's just not – it's hard to mesh with a unit when you're a rookie and to come in there and make an impact. And he just hasn't so far. But like you said, it's been 200 minutes. If you're going to judge him on 200 minutes, then maybe we should trade him right now. I don't know. But it's still early in his NBA career.
How do you feel about the talk of trades? You know, the desire for some fans to, you know, let's make a trade now and go for it, and maybe sacrifice some of the future in order to, I guess, add a wing player who may or may not play, you know, 5-10 minutes a game.
Well, I mean, it's hard because the Bulls, they do need a wing player. They need an experienced wing. That can take some of the pressure off of Dunleavy and Butler. In my opinion, I think they need to maybe come off the bench. But who are you trading? That's kind of the place I'm at. I mean, who do you trade for that? The only guy on the bench that can give you some kind of value would probably be Taj Gibson. And if you're going to trade Taj Gibson for a reserve wingman with the skills that he brings, I mean, I just don't know who you're going to bring in that is of equal value to him. And also, I mean, we see Tibbs get these guys. You know, we see, like, Daquan Cook a couple years ago was brought in, and we saw Jimmer, you know, just some of these guys, and he just doesn't play them. Absolutely. That learning curve on his defense, too. I mean, you can bring these guys in, and they're great players. Even Ronnie Brewer came back, was it last year, and he didn't even get off the bench. He knew the system. And I just don't know who you're going to bring in that's going to make that much of an impact, and unless it's just a really big name.
I keep on hearing Kevin Martin. I'm like, Kevin Martin is one of the worst defenders I've ever seen. You actually think he's going to get meaningful minutes under Thibodeau, and you're going to sacrifice one or two of your young players for a guy who's going to be here for a few months? Yeah, sure, he'll get to the line occasionally. He's not going to play. He's going to play 5 to 10 minutes of that, and he sucks so bad on the defensive end that I think he's just better off in the long haul. Jimmy Butler.
So why would you trade somebody like Taj Gibson for him, or why would you trade draft picks for Kevin Martin?
Trade McDermott. For him. I don't want to trade McDermott. I know I'm the only guy. Sounds like you and me are the only two guys in town who aren't for trading McDermott for that guy. But
I don't see that happening. I don't see what the logic would be in that. The Bulls are they're in an interesting position. They're built to win now, but they're also built to win later a little bit. Mirotić is young. He's 23. Butler, I think, is 25. I mean, Rose is only 26. I mean, there's a lot of young guys on the team still. They still have a nice core moving forward as long as everybody progresses as they should and stays healthy, of course. But I don't think I would sacrifice the future for right now when you already have a contender.
Yeah, I always knew I loved your tweets. I loved your work. It's because I think I agree with about 99% of what you say. Besides your Taj hate. I get the idea that you and I see eye to eye on this final topic. I appreciate you taking your time to chat with me tonight, especially while the game's going on. And that is Kirk Heinrich. I'd like to get your grade on Kirk so far this year. And your opinion on why he's so beloved by Tibbs, the beat writers, and the 100 Levels fan base.
Well, it's all that grit, isn't it? I mean, he's just oozing grit. it's so much grit that I can barely contain it myself. I don't know. The grade I would give him this year is probably a C. I'll give him a C+. I'll give him a C plus. He's had some. His defense has been good at times. He has made some really dumb mistakes. His shooting percentage is horrible. But he's been okay. And when you just I tweeted this all last year. I tweeted this year. If you just put him in the corner and literally make him a D3 guy, where he just stands around and waits for the ball to get to him and take the ball out of his hands, he can actually be a useful player at this point. He's not bad catching and shooting threes. I think he's near 40% on the season at that. I just don't understand. If you and I have had this conversation, I just don't know if you can win a championship with him playing a major role in your team. I look at some of these other – I look at, the Spurs, and they have, Corey Joseph and Patty Mills, and, Tony Parker's down right now, and they put those guys in, and they're contributing. They just kind of take over where he's at. I can't see that from Kirk Heinrich. I can see it from Aaron Brooks. I can't see it from Kirk.
I don't mind him in the corner as long as there's a bench in the corner. I give him an F+. I think he's been horrible. He had the Cleveland game, which was great.
Yeah.
I think if you take away that Cleveland game, I'd love to see what his numbers are. They have to be terrific. And that's the problem with me. It's not that he's playing bad, because I don't expect him to play well. And I'd like to see him in a role where he's just backing up Rose for 10 to 15 minutes a game. I'm fine with that. But when you have him at the two closing games in the last 5 minutes of a game, that's exactly how he was used last year against Washington, and it was a big reason why we lost.
He got punished.
Yes, and it took Dunleavy having a record-setting three-point performance in Game 3 to actually get his ass on the bench.
I know.
It's unbelievable. And go ahead.
And that goes back to what we were talking about with Tibbs. That's one of the glaring things to me is, if he doesn't have the guts to sit this guy down when he's, shooting sub 40% for what, the second or third straight year from the field, he's not contributing a whole lot offensively, and there's obviously better options on the bench than Aaron Brooks and and even Etuan, I've been impressed with Etuan Moore. I actually like what he's been bringing to the team. He's kind of the same type of player, but he just seems a little bit more aggressive offensively and a little more in control. A little smarter, too, I think. I don't know where it was cracking me up. People would say that Kirk Heinrich has this high basketball IQ and he can run the team and all this, and okay. I've never seen that. He used to drive me nuts with the baby Bulls. He would beat his man off the dribble and get to the basket, and instead of taking the layup, would dribble underneath the basket and drop the dribble all the way back up to the three-point. I'm like, just shoot the ball. It's an easy layup. It's wide open. And he would just dribble back out.
I know. He would drive me nuts. Yeah, he would go months. He would go multiple games without getting to the free throw line.
Yeah.
And for a guy to handle the ball as much as he does, I mean, he's got to have one of the lowest correlations to free throw attempts to minutes played in the history of the game.
And his hockey averages 10 assists a game. I mean, it's low. And then people are like, oh, he's got these hockey assists where, you know, he makes the extra pass and, you know, whatever.
I can do that. He's not tough. He's out every other game. He's so tough. I can't take it. I really can't. There's nothing tough about Heinrich. You don't see him. I mean, I guess maybe, you know, defensively he does a good job of following and getting in guys' grill. But on the offensive end, is he really taking it to the rim to get hammered ever? No.
He just even when LeBron was guarding him, he would take it to the rim and he would just get swatted. I mean, he has no ability around the rim. He has no ability anywhere offensively. And I just don't understand. You can't play him in crunch time. I understand the defense, but you can't. It's not even that great a defense. I mean, against Golden State, he was getting killed. Punished by, he was guarding Clay, right? And he was getting punished.
Yeah, and he cost us that game. You're exactly right. He touched on a point. Klay Thompson hit a three. The next time down, it was a two-point game. Klay Thompson hits a three, five-point game. Next possession, Heinrich gets blocked by Klay Thompson on a three attempt. It was like a block that I would have on my six-year-old son. You know, if
I think I remember that.
It was so embarrassing. It was like literally looked like an adult blocking a child. He blocks so Thompson blocks it, secures the rebound off the block, throws it back down, another three-pointer. I can't remember who hit it, but immediately, you know, went from...
It was probably Draymond Green that game.
Yeah, probably it was probably Green. Exactly. But it went from 2 to 8, like, you know, instantaneously, 80% because of Kirk Heinrich, you know, suckitude. So, I just don't see how you can keep him
in the game.
Yeah. I'm just shocked to give him a C+. I got him as an F+.
I give him a little credit. I give him credit for his defense. He has stepped in and just filled the void as Rose has been in and out. So I have to give him a little credit for that. But I just don't understand Tibbs trying to force him into a position as like shooting guard. He's not a shooting guard. He's like 6'3" probably. I mean, he doesn't bring any. He can't guard shooting guards. Really, I mean, he's too small. He's too. And everything, he's old. He is 34 years old, or he's going to be 34. I don't think people realize that, but Nazi Muhammad is 37. Nazi Muhammad can't even get off the bench. Nazi Muhammad doesn't come in garbage time anymore. He just sits on the bench. Kirk's 3 years younger than that. He's not far away from that.
It's like the whole world is blind to the fact, he can play the two. The guy's five. It looks like he's 6'1" at best. 85 pounds. It's like, am I in bizarro world, or does anybody realize this guy is not big enough to play the two? That's all I ever heard when Ben Gordon was playing. Ben Gordon was strong.
This guy could shoot.
Yeah, and he could shoot and get to the line. I mean, this guy's not even strong. Oh,
not at all. It's always driven me nuts. I don't have much good to say about Kirk. But
yep. Brandon, that's why you're coming back on as much as possible. That's why you're coming back. So before we wrap up, just want to hear where we can find you and your work and your Twitter handle. And also to wrap up, how does a Bulls fan end up in Kentucky?
I was born and raised here. And the reason I started loving basketball was a game six of the 93 finals. John Paxson hits the three.
Oh, yeah.
The first basketball game I ever watched. And I fell in love with the Bulls that day. They happened to come to Rupp Arena the next fall for preseason here in Lexington. So that was after Jordan had retired. They brought the Mavericks and Jamal Mashburn and all them here. So I went to that game. I loved it. And I've just been a Bulls fan ever since. So
it's nice.
I've went through the good years. I went through the bad years. And I'm still here. So my Twitter handle, at the Bulls Charge. I tweet a lot, so be warned. But I will get in arguments and debates with people on occasion. So so the website is bullscharge.weebly.com. And then I also contribute for shybullzone.com for them on occasion, every thing in a while, but I'll do it pretty regularly there, about once a month or thereabouts. So
I can't thank you enough for joining us, brother.
Have a happy new year.
Have a happy new year. Congratulations on all your great work that you've done. Looking forward to reading your next article, and also having you on the show again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, Fred. Appreciate it.
Have a good one, Brandon.
You too.